Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The very next verse, the 11th verse, says this. This beginning is the word arch. This beginning of his signs. This is an arch sign, which again means that everything else that Jesus does comes under that arch. He's going to find a truth in this first miracle. This arch sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. That's been sort of the fascinating thing that we've been looking at off and on for the last few weeks. For CTKers, we'll do this more in depth, probably starting this Sunday. But that these were believers, these disciples, they had left everything to follow him. That's a radical expression of belief to me, trusting that he was the Messiah. And yet it says, and his disciples believed in him. And so obviously there's some things that happen in this arch miracle that caused them to believe in ways they didn't believe before. This is part of the school of Christ. The word disciple just means learner. And so for those of us who are learners, who are following him, we're always learning to believe in more childlike ways. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me recently was that he said, I'm not going to teach you how to understand. Westerners really want to understand things. Because if we can understand it, then we can believe it. But he said, I'm not going to teach you how to understand, I'm going to teach you how to believe. And believing often transcends understanding. And if your believing is based on what you can understand, then every time you run against a stumbling block to your understanding, your believing will sink. And what we believe has to not be governed by what we understand or don't understand. I can't tell you how many times I have people come to me and go, I just don't understand that. And I'm going, well, that's got nothing to do with anything. Is it the truth about Jesus? Therefore, will you believe it? And so this is an encouraging thing to me because there are things he wants me to believe that I didn't believe before. Studying this or contemplating this or meditating on this set of scriptures helps us to believe in new ways, in different ways. It expands our capacity to enter into the faith of Christ. And so I love when Mary went to him and says Jesus to Jesus, he says, they have no wine. And Jesus responded and said, woman, what has this got to do with you and me? My hour is not yet come. We've talked about that some already. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. Now there were six stone water pots set for the Jewish custom of purification containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, to the servants, fill the water pots with water. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do. So he tells them, fill the water pots with water. And I love what the Holy Spirit adds, and they filled them to the brim. Now, when you fill something to the brim, I don't know if you've ever played around like with a glass of water or something, and you kind of get level with the top, and you fill it up so high there's a dome. It's a little slight dome, and you know if you add one more drop, it's going to start running down the sides. That's what the word is. I mean, it's so full you can't add one more drop to it. That's filled to the brim. And that's interesting to me because Jesus didn't say fill them to the brim, but there was something in the servant's heart when they heard the conversation. And I bet you they'd heard some stirrings about Jesus. This was his first miracle, but just in the previous chapter, he had read Nathanael's mail. Maybe they heard about that. Maybe they heard that these were friends of the family. The disciples were invited. Jesus was invited, not just the mother, Mary. And so these were probably people fairly familiar, and therefore the servants probably knew some or heard some things. Maybe they had heard about the fact, maybe they had heard people talk about John the Baptist. These were five disciples. There were only five at this point. They were followers of John the Baptist, and they left to follow Jesus because John the Baptist says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was a new idea. They never heard take away sins of the world. There was a sacrificial system that just covered the sins year by year. And actually, by covering it year by year, once you'd cover it, it just was a reminder, we had to do this again next year. It's a reminder of sin. Jesus came to take away sin. Hebrews 10 says to set us free from a sin consciousness. I don't know what they had heard, but my sense was that when Jesus told these servants that fill the water pots, they were going to fill those water pots as full as they could get them because they knew he was going to do something. What a beautiful picture of obedience. We've talked about obedience some from this in the last few weeks already, that Mary simply said, do what he tells you to do, and obedience is such a foundational part of the Christian faith, our walk with the Lord. Obedience is what faith looks like. It's not obedience or faith or obedience and faith. Faith looks like something. And it looks like trusting. Faith looks like something, trusting obedience. But for them, again, there was this sense that he would do something. So let's give him every opportunity to do as much as he wants to do. So here's the thing about obedience. Obedience is very simply God's invitation to us to participate in his divine activity, period. I mean, obedience isn't like just a test thing. God's not like this cruel God who looks down and says, I'm going to bless you if you get it just right, warmer, warmer, colder, colder, but I'm not going to tell you and give you any. This is not who he is. One of the things that we're told in this scripture is who he is. Our Father is so awesome. He cared about this young couple and their humiliation that they had run out of wine. Jesus revealed the heart of the Father. That's who he is. He doesn't just want to bless. He wants to do the best for you. Now, that may not be the American concept of best, but he wants to do his best for you. But again, I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. So this is a New Testament story for a New Testament gospel. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. And to follow him, I prayed that this morning. I prayed the prayers, Lord, I just want to follow you. I want to take up my cross every day, deny any foolishness about doing things my own way, and just follow you. But it's not like Jesus is out here. I'm trying to track him. He lives inside of me. And so I always tell people, it's like, he's like pushing against my chest. And I'm just moving where he's moving because Jesus Christ wants to literally live and express himself through me. That's the Christian life. I mean, how big is your Christian life? What are your expectations? Has the enemy convinced you to become so cynical that you've dummied down the Bible to fit your experience? Or do you have childlike expectation that fits his experience? Because he invites us to participate in the life that he lives, to enjoy his divine activity as a walk. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Just this amazing life. It's just full of, you know, those coincidences and happenings and happenstances and all kinds of cool stuff and signs and wonders. And obedience is just his invitation to participate in the life he lives and the divine activity. They filled their water pots to brim with joy in their heart and excitement in their heart as to what he was going to do. Obedience is a joy-filled thing. It's not about duty. It's about delight. Excited to follow you in anticipation of your divine activity because there's no telling what it might look like. He's not going to live your will through you. He's going to live his will through you. If you're determined you're going to do it your way, he'll be a very innocent bystander as you make a mess out of everything. Remember the story in Africa when a thing happened? I fussed at this guy because of the baggage stuff, and I know better. And I knew better. I mean, I have such passion for those guys who work there and what Westerners. This is a long story we'll get on to, but I was tired and hot, and they had to check my bag for the second time, open it up in 50 feet, one checkpoint. Then 50 feet later, they did it again, I'm thinking. So I fussed. I didn't yell or I fussed, and I went back and apologized. And when I sat down, I said, Lord, you'd never do anything like that. He said, I didn't. That was all you, Chuck. Obedience is the most exciting thing in the world because there's nothing more thrilling than the perpetual and continual participation in his divine activity. And every time I offer him obedience, I'm just simply making my humanity available to be the body through which he lives. And there's no telling what he might do. So I want to offer him broom-filled obedience. Not half-hearted obedience. What's the point? Do you like getting up early on Sunday mornings just for the heck of it? If your Christian life is miserable, stay home. Give God a break. He's not impressed by your showing up miserable. Or like your Bible study. Do you just like, well, do that out of duty, but you're miserable? Then don't do it. Yeah, but I mean, God, he's not going to be mad at you. But if you can offer him brim-filled obedience, not out of duty, but in anticipation, if I open this book and give you 5 minutes, you're going to say something to me in anticipation of divine activity. If I open my mouth and pray in your name, something's going to happen. If I open my mouth and talk to this person, you're going to do something. I love this story. We don't know those servants' names. They didn't have a theological education. They didn't ask any questions about, but I don't understand. They understood one thing, at least in some way, in some level, that he said, fill these water pots. We're going to fill them as full as we can get them because we want to see what this guy's going to do with this. And they surely did. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.